It is certainly different. And for me, it's about leaving something that I love. So while people look at retirement in many cases with great joy of not having to come to work, there's a certain sadness that I have because I'm leaving something that I love. I respect this community. I have great appreciation for the hard work that the people in this business do. I have great friends that I won't be dealing with every day, and I have a fantastic organization that I get to be a part of. So I'm excited about what will be next, but this isn't something that I'm running away from, and I will definitely miss it.
4.5 decades that you've been in government service, one can only imagine so much changed over those 40-some-odd years.
Well, in the acquisition business, in many ways, there have been a lot of changes, and other ways, the issues and the challenges that we deal with very much the same. When you look at my public service, I had 7 years enlisted time that I am very, very proud of. And those 7 years helped to shape me as an officer. I had 27 years as an officer, retiring as a brigadier general in the United States Air Force, that I'm very proud of, and 10 years as a civil servant in the Department of Defense. I mean, I did the full range of things that you do in the department at every level. And, yeah, I'm very proud of that. I leave the department with a great sense of accomplishment, and I'm very excited about what the department will do after I'm gone and the initiatives that are still very, very important that we need to complete.
Organizations like the Defense Acquisition University, so important. Why, when people say, what do you do, people outside the government space, what do you tell them, and how do you tell them how important the work that you're doing today is?
I tell them that the work is vitally important. It's a job that I wake up every day excited about doing, that I'm excited to get to work in the morning, because when you think about it, the Department of Defense is the largest buying organization in the world. And the diversity of what people need to buy successfully is critical. So if there's someone who uses it to write what to write on it, if we wear it, if we eat it, if we fly it, if we float it, if we drive it, someone in the DOD acquisition workforce was involved in buying it and getting it delivered to our sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, mothers, and fathers who are in harm's way someplace in the world.
And yet I know the acquisition workforce and the defense acquisition workforce feels very... I want to say it's not bludgeoned, but close to it. It's a group that's had tough times over the last couple years.
Well, it's a tough job. And when I have an opportunity to get in the classroom, what I tell people is that there is no mission that is more challenging next to the people that we have on the battlefield. And when you're in the Department of Defense, every day we come to work, and it's not just the Department of Defense, it's really the national security space, Homeland Security, Department of State, and a number of other agencies that directly contribute this idea of the whole of government enterprise. But there are also unique opportunities to improve. there are some significant issues that we need to work and improve on relative to acquisition outcomes. So our ability to make commitments up front and then deliver those outcomes as expected by the men and women who are in harm's way is a critical mission. And the cost of delivering those goods, I mean, one of the things that we believe is when you go look, clearly the strategic advantage of the American military are the leaders and the men and women who show up on the battlefield, but also the technology and the individual expertise of the men and women who are on the battlefield. But what we do, we can't lose sight of the fact that we have to get it delivered to people when they need it, where they need it, and it need to perform the way we expect it to perform. So what I believe is happening is that we are doing a critical review and assessment of our performance, and we are trying to improve those areas where the results are not what we want or expect them to be.
Biggest change to the acquisition workforce over the over your tenure as the head of DAU?
Well, when you look at change to the acquisition workforce, I think certainly as you look at what have happened in the Department of Defense and throughout the federal government is that the magnitude and the growth in the buying mission and the decline in the organic workforce that's responsible for performing that mission.
And while that's all been going on, also, it seems to me what's being asked of those acquisition workers, they're being pushed in to be very almost strategic players, not just signing off on paperwork. All of a sudden, they're being asked to think, okay, what's the best way to carry out an acquisition that gets the accomplishes the mission even more effectively?
Absolutely. Strategic partnerships. Looking at leverage, volume buying, strategic sourcing are all critical aspects. The federal government and the Department of Defense have had to smartly adapt to an environment where people really are being asked to do more and to do that in a more efficient way.
And one of the items I was going through some of the information on DAU's website, one of the things that I noticed is that since fiscal 1999, there's been a 300% growth in the number of graduates coming out of the Defense Acquisition University.
Right.
That's a pretty impressive number. 10 years, 300% growth. Why and how does that, talk a little bit about that.
Well, we started out to transform the learning environment in the Department of Defense, and that has been a consistent theme and drive over time. We have been given a lot of flexibility to transform how we thought about and how we deploy training. And we've done a couple of things over time. We've significantly expanded the learning content that is delivered through electronic means, primarily across the web. And what most people do not recognize is that we have also expanded the number of people who are going through resident training. So there are an awful lot of people who believe that the expanded E occurred at the expense of resident training. We've gone back through our courses to look at content as well as context. And we believe that across the board we have made significant improvements in both the quality of the faculty and the delivery methods here. In 2003, we delivered an innovative learning infrastructure called the Performance Learning Model. That construct was recognized by the corporate training community as being the best new idea in corporate learning. We have forward deployed our brick-and-mortar structure so that we are co-located with the masses of our workforce so that we significantly reduce the cost of travel and per diem. In our case, because of the commitment of the senior leadership, that funding was not pulled out of the learning enterprise, and we were able to reinvest in more innovative techniques and courses. This year, we have developed and deployed what we believe is the best contracting fundamental courses that exist any place today. It's a one-month course where we both train people on computers in the classroom. So this is a resident course, but everyone operates from their computer as we start to say, how do you train and develop knowledge workers? Not just say that it's a phenomenon that's occurring, so that these folks are connected to all of those resources. And when they get back to the workplace, they are now in a position where they can mentor up with more senior employees to show the new tools that are available as the senior acquisition workforce is mentoring down with the corporate knowledge that they have developed over time. So we are very, very excited about that. Today, Defense Acquisition University is probably the most recognized institution in America relative to corporate training. So I leave at a high point. I'm very proud of the university. But that's just one piece of it. So we believe that we have created a world-class learning environment. And, oh, by the way, we're also probably the largest provider of training for the federal community. Been phenomenal growth in terms of the acquisition training that's provided to the federal community. Most of that is our web training, but that is very, very important for the federal community. We sign a very innovative partnership with the Veterans Administration yesterday, and that's going to be a major asset for both the Veterans Administration and the Department of Defense. We have a great partnership with the Department of Homeland Security. So there are just phenomenal resources. And the real idea today is that we need to deploy the intellectual capital that's important for success in the workforce so that the members of the workforce can get to those learning resources at their learning point of need. So it's not that resident is better than web. It's getting the right content and to the right delivery medium so that workforce members will be able to get to high-quality learning resources resources at their learning point of need.
And that seems to be one of the really big changes, even in the last 5-10 years, is all of a sudden you're not just teaching in classrooms. The classroom can be anywhere. And in fact, I saw DAU offers its information, offers classes, offers services through iTunes. So you can actually get right on your iPod, right on your, you can download classes.
Absolutely. You have done a lot of homework. You know more about us than an awful lot of people. I applaud you. When you talk about the relationship with Apple and our ability to deliver courses through iTunes University, there is only one corporate training university in the world that's on iTunes University today. And the whole idea was, how do you create an environment where we deliver learning resources in a mobile environment? How do we start to rapidly adapt to the natural expectations of millennium employees who are now starting to come into the workplace? The millennium employees are a connected workforce. So what we're trying to do is ensure that we deliver high-quality content in all mediums where workforce members are apt to go looking for resources. So we continue to try and stay on the leading edge.
And I always joke that I have a little niece who she's all of 8 years old, but she's never seen a phone that has a cord. If I ever pull out a phone that has a cord, she's just baffled.
Absolutely,
this mobile way of it's how they're just naturally this. They want to be able to get information where they want, wherever they are.
It's their expectation. It's how they grow up. It's what they are used to. And this debate over whether or not Resonant is better than E is just the wrong and an outdated discussion. Today, the issue is very simple. What content is best delivered in the classroom, and to do that in a world-class manner? What content is best delivered across the web, and to do that in a world-class manner? That's the model that we have in place. When we started this journey, there was a lot of debate about it. Today, as I stated, Defense Acquisition University is probably the most recognized and respected corporate training organization in America.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about the idea of collaboration, because one of the other things, there are all these tools that allow people to collaborate in really unique, innovative ways these days. All of a sudden, collaboration becomes, we've been talking about it for so long, now you can actually do it. And you guys actually have something called, is it Aquapedia?
Yes.
Which pulls together is like Wikipedia, but for the acquisition community.
Exactly.
To pull all these ideas together, have a place where people can have a common framework to collaborate around some of these concepts that people often talk about in very theoretical ideas.
Yeah, I have to ask you, how much research did you do? You know everything about
it. I like to actually, know something about, and I've been doing this for a little while.
Yeah. I mentioned a little earlier the learning infrastructure that we put in place called the performance learning model. So in that model, we have our structured certification training. That's both resident and E. We have communities of practice that people build because there is an interest. And I'm going to give you one example that I specifically like about the communities of practice. Earned value management is a critical process and skill set in running major weapon systems. We used to do a program in resident on earned value management, and we train about 400 to 500 people annually. We changed that to an e-course. and we started to train about 1,300 people a year. Big improvement.
Yeah.
People really kind of excited about that. But then we took that course and we broke them down into smaller modules, and we put them into a community of practice where people could go use those programs at their point of need. They didn't have to get scheduled for a course. They didn't have to get funding to go TDY. They didn't have to get registered to be in one of the web courses. Another 75,000 people during the first year that we did that used those modules. That's the power of an integrated learning architecture where you've looked at all of your learning assets and the university is not at the center of your learning enterprise, but we've built the learning enterprise around individual employees and how we best serve them. So, and that's a model that that's in place. So you start to think about how do we communicate with the millennium generation? Hmm. Will they want to do training the same way that I took training when I first came in? But we're also balancing that with enterprise requirement as we thoughtfully assess. There are some things we really do want people to get in a classroom.
Yeah, there are some, and actually there's some collaboration that it's helpful to have people face-to-face. That's still an important part of learning.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the point I'm making is that it's not one. And it's certainly not about a course. Many people will debate course A. My course A is better than your course B. And we say, okay, if we can learn from your course B, we'll adapt the best practices that you have. But what we are deploying and what we feel good about is the learning enterprise that we have in place. And the corporate training community have said consistently that we have deployed a learning enterprise that represent best practices in America.
Hmm.
And we're proud of that. And that's not about me. It's about a really high-quality, first-rate learning team that have committed to the model and are very proud of what they do. And I also have to acknowledge that we could not have done the things that we have done without the committed leadership, starting with the Secretary of Defense, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, and some great functional leaders. And Shia Saad, who's the head of the Defense Procurement and Policy Organization here, has been just a fantastic partner. And has been a leader in helping us to get training right.
So I got to ask you: the 3rd of July will be the first day that you don't have to be in the office.
Actually, it's the 1st of July because we work weekends here too.
Okay, so the 1st of July, the alarm clock doesn't have to go off.
Right.
And in fact, I just had a friend who retired, and he said he threw out his alarm clock. He got rid of it. It must be a kind of bittersweet kind of thing. You're clearly very passionate about this stuff.
It is. One, I care. I believe it's important. I respect the people who do the work, and there is a great leadership team in the department right now. In the acquisition community, we have great leadership, and not just within the Department of Defense with Dr. Carter, Frank Kendall, but also at OFPP with Dan Gordon, who has been a longtime friend. He's a great leader. He brings a lot of passion to that job. So when I go look at the folks who are sitting in the key leadership positions, I feel very good about what will happen in the future. So there is some sadness that I will no longer be a part of this, but I certainly hope to continue to be a positive friend and maybe get to speak a little bit or do some other things that will help and make a difference.
Well, I can tell you you're welcome on Federal News Radio anytime.
Thank you.
Anything you'd like to say either to your folks, I'm giving you 50,000 watts to say either to the folks at DAU, the acquisition community, some thought you'd like to leave with folks as they proceed down and continue to focus on these very important acquisition issues.
Well, thanks. I would like to do a shout out to my team here at Defense Acquisition University. It is a world-class team, great leaders in every position, and people who really care about this mission and want to make a difference. There is nothing worthwhile that's ever accomplished by a single individual, and I've had a number of fantastic teammates. The Secretary of Defense, I thank him for his leadership, Dr. Ash Carter, who I've worked with for the past year, have been phenomenal. The partnership that I've evolved with Frank Kendall, his principal deputy. I mean, I leave the department in great hands with people who care, who show up every day trying to make a difference, and individuals who I leave having great respect for what they bring. And then to the acquisition workforce, a community that I believe does phenomenal work day in and day out, receives more criticism than they do pats on the back and appreciation, but show up every day anyway with a commitment to make a difference. I thank them. And then in the role that I've had here as the Director of Human Capital Initiatives, I thank the Congress for the fantastic support that we have received there relative to workforce initiative, workforce support. There is sometimes some tension, but the people that I have worked with care. They also are trying to make a difference, and it has been just a positive work relationship over time. Secretary on April 6, 2009 announced the his commitment to grow and rebalance the acquisition workforce. That's on track and actually ahead of schedule, going extremely well. The investment and improved learning resources for the community, that took a lot at a point in time that there are tough budget challenges in the department. So I'm thankful. I feel blessed. I have worked with some fantastic leaders, and I leave the department with what I believe is a very, very strong leadership team committed to improving acquisition incomes and shaping tomorrow in a way that things will be better than today.
Last question, then I'll let you go. You've been very generous with your time. I often talk to folks, acquisition workers, and they say, and I have one tell me, you know, this feels like it's the best of times, but it's the worst of times. It's the best of times because there are so many things that we can do. I think people are starting to understand the importance of acquisition in terms of getting systems right. If you're going to do something, the acquisition part has to be done correctly from the start. And yet the worst of times, because there's so much pressure on acquisition workers right now, and they're getting so much scrutiny right now. Best of times, worst of times, or is this, it seems like a real opportunity for the really good acquisition workers to really blossom right now.
I agree with your last point. I believe it's the best of times. We have a president that have committed to improving the acquisition workforce and has publicly stated his support for the acquisition workforce. He has certainly raised the bar in terms of expectations for the acquisition community. We have a Secretary of Defense, MySpace, who made a huge personal commitment to both improve and to invest money in improving the acquisition workforce. Dr. Ash Carter and Frank Kendall, they both get it. They're committed to it. We've got great leaders in the component. So I believe that for the community, if things stay on track, we're going to do great. Will there continue to be pressure? You bet. And the reason is because there are so many national priorities that are begging for funding. So for every dollar that you decide to invest in one space, it means that you're making a hard trade somewhere else. So I don't believe that the pressure will ever change. But I do believe that all of the right vectors are in place right now. We have the right leadership commitment. And there is a commitment on the part of the Congress also to support improving the acquisition workforce. But there are expectations that we will produce better outcomes. So we have to deal with the shortcomings that we have. And we have to take advantage of this point in time and make changes that are necessary to improve the outcomes that we produce. So I think this is the best of times. And if I had a regret, it's that I'm leaving. But I'm kind of in the dilemma of the Minnesota quarterback who can't decide whether he will retire or not. Okay.
Brett Favre. Yep.
I love this business. Okay. 44 years. It's time for somebody else to have their shot. I've had a great run. I feel really good about my personal contributions. But I feel even better about the contributions of the team. I'm leaving a great team. We're at the top of our game. And I'm excited about the next thing. And I'm excited about where the department is and the way forward.